Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us. Today is Thursday, July 16th, and we have three very special ladies coming on today. We have Bev, Sonia, and Lisa. So at this time, I'm going to go ahead and see if I can bring one of them in. Hello?
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm fine. It's Sonia.
Hi, Sonia. Thank you so much for being here. How are you today?
I'm doing good. Today's a good day for me. And
I'm
I was looking forward to this all day, and it's been a really good day, and I'm excited to be back on.
I'm so excited to have you back on. This is fantastic.
Thank you.
So I thought we'd tell our listeners a little bit about what we're going to be discussing today. We have about 30 minutes, and we're going to talk about gangs and the lie that it is, prison and families coping, to recommendations for getting our kids involved in more positive things, and then also the jobs that you ladies have to the jobs that you do to pay the bills, and most important, I think, is why you volunteer so much of your time to do the amazing work that you do.
Okay. Yes, and the other mothers should be joining us shortly. I know I just spoke with Bev, and she said she was going to get, she's going to be calling in any moment now, so we should be hearing from them. But yes, we do want to talk about the issues of people who have loved ones in the prisons. That's mainly my discussion because, you know, I was on the other side. And I know Lisa wants to discuss the gangs and how a lie it is. And she's very, very, very tough on that subject. She loves to jump into that one. Each mom that's going to join us today has a little discussion that they want to talk about, just so we can let the family know that we haven't forgotten about anybody out there. And we're still out here, and we're still talking to kids. And Bev and Lisa are very, very active in our group more than I am. I've gone away a little bit, actually, because it just got too much for me with my son's death. And one moment you feel you're dealing with it, one moment, you know, you're falling to pieces again. So I got away.
Answer. Hello?
Hi.
Yeah, I'm here.
Hi. Okay. Can you guys hear me?
We should have somebody else call in. Hi. And who is this?
This is Lisa.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Lisa.
Welcome and thank you.
Hi. I could hear you guys, but I know you. I didn't think you guys could hear me.
Yes, I can hear you.
Loud and clear, my dear.
Yeah,
so, Sonia, did you want to go first, my friend?
Well, yeah. I just wanted, you know, to let the families know that I know it's very hard. I'm seeing. I have a friend, you know, Melinda Jenkins Contreras, and she, her son was in the SHU for over 12 years, and it was very hard for her, you know, not being able to talk to him, and it is difficult. It's very difficult when you have someone in there and you can't touch them. You can't, you know, you only get to write, and a lot of times they don't get it. So I just wanted to reach out to the families and let them know that I'm here for them if they ever want to talk and just express what they're feeling, you know, just to stay strong as much as they can because it is very hard because your child is alone in that yard by themselves and, you know, God forbid they get a call, but I did, you know. So just to continue being strong for that loved one, write them. Just get as many letters as you can out to them because that's all they ask for is just to hear from someone out here because it takes them away from the world that they live in there. And
right,
I
and
just,
the world
you know, my,
that they live in, right.
Yeah, it's totally different from out here. And it breaks my heart when I see, you know, families out here that have to deal with that because I too dealt with that. And not a lot of people talk about it. You know, everybody keeps it, you know, to themselves, because it is a personal issue. It's a family issue. But I just want to let people know that I am here, that they can talk to me. You know, I too lost my son as well as I was on the other side that they are. So I just want them to know that they can open up. And if they have anything that they want to express to me, you know, I'm all ears. And they can find me. You know, they can find each one of us mothers on Mothers with a Message. We do have a Facebook.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Hello.
Hi, how are you, Bev?
I'm good, thank you. I'm just making sure you guys could hear me. I barely got on.
Oh, not a problem. We're all here, and I don't know if you heard Sonia, but she was talking about how she is totally, and the rest of you ladies are there, and kind of a little bit of what she has experienced and what she went through. So continue on, Sonia.
Well, you know, Lisa and Bev, they're pretty much active a lot in the community. They're the 24/7 days, you know, a week. I see Lisa, and me, I kind of still have a tough time dealing with my son's death, you know, so
right.
I've kind of just backed off into the corner. But these two ladies here have just gone out of their way to be there for each and every person who has lost a loved one, especially a mother. And I think it's awesome because they devote their times, you know, to curfew sweeps. I mean, they're going as far as Oceanside to see other children in another district. So they put a lot of effort into this. You know, and I think it's awesome. I think it's great. And what Bev and Lisa have given me, you know, being that I'm on the other side, and it's helped me tremendously.
I was so touched by your story when we first met, ladies. I was so blown away by the power of everything that you do, and along with the power of, you know, forgiveness and accepting things. And I know that each of you have just been through, I'm just going to say it, hell and back, you know, and you've just come out so strong. And I honestly believe that the best thing, I think the thing that helps each of us the most in even our daily lives is helping other people. And I can tell you that you are helping a tremendous amount of people. Even if you just touch one person that day or that week or that month, the help and guidance and the understanding and the experiences help them more than you might even ever know, ladies.
Thank you.
Yeah. Go ahead, Bev or Lisa, if you guys want to.
Well, I'll just go real quick regarding with Sonia. You know, both of us thrown into the same event that happened without asking or, you know, it just happened to us. But we were on opposite sides, and it just seems like we were always at the same place, dealing with the same things all the time. And during the court process, there's no mediation for that, for us to be together working on this. She's devastated because I'm the one that had the child that was killed. And knowing it's like I know her son's going thing, but I'm so focused on my daughter that you forget that they're going through something. And you know, when our relationship had to do with Sonia reaching out to me first and telling me how she felt, and there was true remorse and true concern, not just for her son, but for my daughter, first, and also, secondly, for me, because, and that's the thing, when your child dies, and especially in a situation where it's like a random shooting or something, and you think, oh, they killed somebody, they don't know what they took from me, that was my life, you know, but Sonia got it, and she was able to relay to me, her son got it, and that's a parent needs. That helps, you know, it doesn't take away the loss, but it's like, okay, they understand they weren't callous. They didn't uncare. They cared that another mother lost a child. They cared that a young lady lost her life, and that's what we've built. And then I felt a lot of responsibility for Sonia's son, Christopher, because I was sitting on the other side of the courtroom every day in court watching what's going on. And, you know, when somebody kills your child, of course you want a conviction because you don't know the child, you don't know what happened. And that's the other part, is nobody ever will tell you anything in detail about what happened. It's very hard to get a true information on what happened, you know. And so together we were able to put together some things, and there's a lot of things that were missing in our situation that never came.
I think your phone is going out.
Oh.
Yeah, I think so, because I'm getting the same thing over here.
Okay.
Lisa,
yeah, I can't hear you.
Yeah. Okay. Can you guys hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So you know, I just wanted to mention that you know, it's a relationship that, you know, we got thrown into, but again, we had to come with, you know, acceptance, forgiveness, and everything else involved to make this relationship work between us and our families, because even our families are involved with each other. You know, my kids have met her kids, and so it's just an odd situation.
It is. It can be very odd, especially when we're all together and you get that moment where you just look at each other and you're like, I can't believe I'm sitting next to this mom. You know,
we're
like,
in house. I can't believe
my
I'm in their house eating dinner.
Oh, we're eating dinner and swimming in her sister's pool. And I'm like, I'm over here swimming in her sister's pool. Oh, my God. Who would think, you know, people don't do stuff like that. And, you know, and it makes you feel weird and odd. But then again, I start to feel very saddened. You know, well, I get saddened because I feel like this is an odd way of having to be friends with someone through a death that my son caused, you know. But then when me and Lisa sit down and start talking, it just lightens up and it becomes a lot better, because we know that we're just two mothers who just were hurting for our kids, and we both had no control. We didn't ask for it. We didn't sign up for it. And it's what happens out there in the street, you know. Unfortunately, it's part of our daily living out there, you know. And of course, me and Lisa got affected. You know, so I try to, you know, as much as she forgives me and my son, you know, my son, it's, to me, it's, I thank her from the bottom of my heart, but it's just something that sticks in the middle of my gut, just still, just to see Lisa mourning for her daughter, it's never going to go away for me.
And
it's
vice
not
versa.
Because
and vice versa.
To me,
Sonia, she mourns too, and it's hard for both of us to watch, and we can only do so much for each other. I know I can't make her feel, make it go away, and vice versa. But, you know, so it is. It's just hard for the mothers, and that's why we focus on the mothers a lot of times too.
Yeah, not only do we focus on the children out there, but we focus on each other when we're going through hard times.
I just think that's so remarkable, and the work that you're doing, and just being there for other moms who are experiencing this. It must just be incredible.
Yeah,
you know?
It's pretty much recently we've had two more homicides that just came within the last week, and that got me, every time we see stuff like that on the news, which I don't really like to watch the news because of that, but when I do see that, you know, we've lost two more children in the same night, and that showed me that there are two parents out there, two families that are grieving now, and it brings you back to what you went through, so you know what they're feeling. And that just happened recently, so the mothers are coming out once again. And, you know, this is the reason I wanted to bring everybody back on here, so we can discuss, you know, the violence that's going on with these kids out here, and the tragedies and the effects that it causes. And my heart just breaks for these two families, because I lived it. Lisa lived it. Bev lived it. And Bev has actually been out there at the vigils for these families. And it just brings her right back to what she went through.
Right.
Exactly.
And
the amount of time will never heal, you guys, you know.
Yeah,
it's over and over.
Yeah.
Right.
All the time. And you know, we always reach out to Bev, because Bev has, you know, contacts that can get us information quicker. So we can go see these families, find out if there's vigils, if there's viewings, find out, you know, to meet the parents. You know, one thing is, when this happens to you, you feel so isolated, and, you know, it's not going to take the pain away, but it's a little bit more comforting if there's a mother there that's been through that already. because when we see the mothers in pain and, you know, they're still in shock and disbelief, you know, at least they know they could see us and say, okay, that happened to them and they're still here.
That's right.
Yeah. So Bev is like our cornerstone.
It is really overwhelming, you know, for a family when they receive the news of you know, their loved one has died. It's just overwhelming. And in the beginning, everybody comes and supports you and you have a full house and you have a lot of friends visiting and family calling. And so for the first couple of days, you have a lot of arms around you and you're kind of trying to take it all in, but you're at the same time, you're a little bit, you're so busy, you know, making arrangements and doing all these things that need to be taken care of that you don't have time to really grieve until it's everything is over. And so when you bury your loved one and then everybody goes back to their homes and back to work and you're stuck mm-hmm. with, wow, you know, how am I going to live now? Like, what am I going to do? Like, I just can't believe this happened to me. I can't believe it's permanent. Mm-hmm. I can't believe, you know, my son, daughter is not coming back. And that's mm-hmm. where the hard times begin. And that's usually when I wait, because I know the parents are going to call us. And that's when I tell them, you know, I know you have a lot of family here and a lot of support, but here's my number, and you can call us any time of the night. You know, we're here long term because we already know that it's a long journey, and it's a lot of ups and downs, and it's not easy.
Oh yeah, exactly. Every day is a different day.
Yeah,
it is.
Right.
It's very hard. Yeah.
It's
panic
really
attacks,
difficult.
It's the reality checks. I mean, one moment you're fine, and I couldn't take it in. I wasn't soaking it in. And now that, you know, I've taken some time away from everybody and I've just gone into my own little world, I've now been doing it and going through it, and it's hitting me. And when it hits me, it's the most scariest reality check, and it's unbearable, and
mm-hmm.
I can't seem to sometimes find my way out of it for days, and it's horrible. It's draining.
Oh, I can't.
Yeah, we go to diversion where we talk to youth with the San Diego Police Department, and just recently at one of the diversions, a young man told one of the officers, you know, I've never heard, you know, the stories from a mother coming from a mother who lost her child. And this young man was saying, I can relate to that story because I am a person that's very impulsive and I get angry. And my first reaction when somebody does something to disrespect me or to get me angry is I want to get revenge. I want to go hurt the person. But after hearing the stories of the mother, I'm going to watch myself. I'm going to catch that and try to do something different than to go cause harm to somebody. And that is why we do this. I mean, just listening to that, when he shared that, I was like, this is the reason that we keep doing it, even though it's hard to go and talk to youth and it's hard to talk to parents, it's hard to relive and talk about our story over and over again. That's why we do it, because this young man got it. This young man got that, okay, somebody got you mad, somebody did something to you, and your first impulse is to go hurt them. But after hearing our story, you're going to think twice about that, because death is forever. You don't want to cause somebody long-term pain like this. You don't want to devastate a family over one stupid argument or something dumb that happened while you were drunk or high, and then you wake up in the morning and you realize, I just killed somebody, or I just changed my life forever by this act.
Permanently forever. I think
yes.
that by you talking to our youth, ladies, I'm telling you, the first feeling I got by hearing this young, what you just said about this young man, I can guarantee you that you just saved somebody's life. I just feel that way. And I think
that by
going out there and doing that, because you, for that young man to come up and say that to you and admit, you know, how he was feeling, the negative side of how he was feeling, I can guarantee you that you probably just saved somebody's life. And that is just amazing. And so I think that by talking to younger people about what you've been through is just helping so many more people than you can possibly even ever know, honestly.
Right.
Yeah.
And as the parents, we just want to, you know, be a support to them. But also, if it hasn't happened to them, you know, we want them to really, you know, just keep their eyes open for things that, you know, they might not want to see, or just keep their kids involved in a lot of activities. Keep them connected to the family. Family gatherings. I mean, bring everybody into the lives of your son or daughter. Make sure aunts and uncles are always, you know, around, that they're playing a part in your son or daughter's life. That way you don't lose them to somebody else that has more time, you know, because sometimes we get busy, but, you know, the gangs are not busy. I mean, they're always available to you. If you have a problem, they're there to listen. Yeah, they're always there. So we need to, our families need to be the same way. We need to be available 24/7. We need to always be on top of things and see who their friends are, who they're associating with, how are they doing in school, what are they doing when they go to the room and close the door? I mean, what's happening in there? So that's what, and we don't blame any parent, you know, we just want them to learn from what maybe we didn't see or things that we caught later on. And that's why we continue to do it.
That is just so amazing. I'm just so proud of you all for doing what you're doing and just being, you know, taking the most horrific tragedy imaginable to any mother
member. I really would like the kids to look at, you know, because I know me and Lisa are always talking about the gangs, you know, with Christopher's situation in his mind, you know, he was built up from so many of his friends and everything that he had to stand up to that image. And for a neighborhood, for a neighborhood or, you know, just the gang life itself. And I really want children to know that it's a lie. There's no one going to be there for you. When it comes to at the end of the day, it's not going to be your homies. It's not going to be your girlfriends. They're not going to be there for you. It's all a lie. You know, it's just the street sucking you up, and they just feel like they have all this power, and they don't. Because who, at the end of the day, when you're the one getting in trouble, where's all the power? Where's all the friends? Where's the money that's going to support you in there? Who's going to be crying for you? It's none of them. It's me. It's Lisa. It's Beth. It's all us mothers. It's all us. You know, and it's very draining, and I want these kids to realize that that is not a life. It's a lie. That's a road of just a path of lies, and they need to stay focused. I mean, they need to consider their family more of their friend than the streets.
And
there's a friend out there.
Yeah, we've actually gone to prisons and talked to prisoners out in the yard, and they've heard our stories. And we've gotten to meet a lot of these prisoners one-on-one and talk to them. And, you know, the way we raise our kids now, even though they may boast and think they're tough, those prisons are brutal. And they're out in the middle of nowhere where their families can't even visit them because they're on lockdown. They're out in the desert. And these kids don't understand. They're going in with grown men that have been in the system maybe a decade or two, and they are victims in the system by the other prisoners, all the seasoned veteran prisoners. And a lot of them that we've talked to, they're in the PC section. And you could tell they were homeboys at one time, but they don't even want to be on the main line because you got to do things you don't want to do. And there's two laws. There's the ones the state you have to abide by, and then there's the ones with the prisoners you have to abide by, and there's consequences for both of those. So all these kids that don't want to do what their parents ask or the teachers, they have even more rules when they go to prison, and they don't understand that. That they don't understand that they are setting themselves for the rest of their life up to a life of unhappiness and not being with their family. Yeah. They've written us, Beth.
Wow.
Sometimes when we talk to these men at the prisons and they're always sharing with us, you know, if I could do this all over again, this wouldn't have been the life that I chose. I mean, because you have a lot of kids that are looking up to them and they're thinking that's the life, but I have yet to meet an inmate that says this life was fun. I'm so glad I'm in prison.
Mm-hmm.
I would have done this all over again. I mean, each of them is very remorseful. They realize that they've hurt their family. They realize that they missed out on a lot. I mean, one of them even said, you know what, I've never had lunch with my mother. And that was that was hard for me to hear. I'm like, you never had lunch with your mother? He said, no, I never have had lunch with my mother. I've never driven a car. I've never had a driver's license. I've never gone to the park. I mean, it was just, you know, hard to hear their stories. But none of them would have chosen that life could they have done it again. And also the mothers, doesn't matter which side they're on, whether if they're a son-daughter was a victim or their son-daughter was the person that committed, you know, murder. Mm-hmm. I don't think any of them ever said when the baby was born, I hope one day you're a murderer. I hope one day you'll be in a gang. I hope one day I'll bury you when you're 15. None of us, I mean, each of us wanted the same thing for our kids. We wanted them to succeed. We wanted them to live life, you know, at the fullest, with a family and have a good job and just be happy. None of us asked for this on both sides. None of us ever asked for this. That's why whenever I speak, I never put down these other people, the other family, because there was several people that killed my son. But I try to understand, you know, I try to understand. And when I first went to court to see the people who killed my son, I mean, these were young. They were
children.
young faces. And I just was so sad for them because I don't know what they were going through. I don't know what they were thinking when they took my son's life, but they ended my son's life. And they also changed their future. So there's a no-win situation in that. I mean, I think it's sad for all the families, and there's so many people that are affected by it, because for every death, I mean, there's siblings, there's cousins, there's uncles, there's friends. So there's so many people that are walking around, you know, the earth with so much pain inside, so much trauma, so much emptiness, but still having to live.
Incredible. Well, ladies, thank you so much for being here today. But before we go, I know that you have a Facebook page, and if you'd like to let everyone know where they can visit your Facebook page, that would be fantastic.
Beth?
Yes, it's under Mothers with a Message. And they can leave comments. They can also email us at motherswithamessage@gmail.com. And we are available anytime. We go speak at schools. We'll go help you if you just want support. If a youth just needs somebody to talk to, I mean, that's what we're here for.
Ladies, you are all just so amazing, and it's just always such a pleasure to have you. Thank you so much for everything that you do.
Thank you, Catherine.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. Oh,
thank you so much
pleasure.
For having us back.
Thank you so much for coming back. It was just so informative, and I'll help you get the word out as well.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Catherine. Okay. You take care, and we'll talk to you soon, okay?
You bet. Take care, ladies. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Bye. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.